A guy that's got his finger on the pulse of pretty much everything when it comes to baseball is a man by the name of Scott Miller. He writes for the Bleacher Report. He's a national baseball writer and a good friend, and he joins us now from San Diego, California, a place that I used to walk around quite a bit. And Scott, we appreciate you. I know you're working there, so thanks for taking some time out of your busy day for us.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Andy? My pleasure to be with you, and how's everything there?
Everything is going well. We want to talk to you and to kind of get a perspective on some things that happened with the Cubs during this week, and obviously the biggest news was Kyle Schwarber being sent down to AAA. He was hitting a .171, but he didn't have 12 home runs, but just never really looked right. Are you surprised it took this long, or are you surprised that it happened?
You know, I'm just surprised that he hasn't hit. I mean, this guy's a hitting savant, and we saw that last year in the World Series when he took that famous charter flight from the Arizona Fall League right into the World Series, and, you know, people were amazed. I still remember standing on the Progressive Field in Cleveland there that October evening, that unseasonably warm October evening, watching him come out and just the drama, and then he hits, and it was like, oh, my goodness. I have to say, I'm shocked that he's remained in this funk for this long. And, you know, I'm like everybody else. I don't figure it'll last too long. You know, it'll be interesting to see how long they leave him in the minors. I would assume he'll start hitting pretty quick. But I would have to rank, Andy, this Schwarber not hitting story. I put that in the top three stories in all of Major League Baseball in terms of, if you were saying, what surprised you the most this year? I think Schwarber not hitting, that would be among my top three. Easy.
Hey, Scott, Harry, you know, you and Andy both were in San Diego when Anthony Rizzo got sent down. So this is, you know, Joe Maddon talked about, that's what's great about baseball, is you can reset a guy. You can send him down to the minors. Do you believe, obviously Rizzo's awesome now, so do you believe Schwarber can come back based on what happened with Rizzo? Schwarber can come back and be a totally different hitter when he arrives back in Chicago?
I think so, and I'm going to say yes, Harry, for two reasons. One, as I said, I really believe this guy is a hitting savant. He's just got an uncanny knack. This guy knows what he's doing. I think for that reason, he's always going to hit. Secondly, you know, Rizzo, he had a really long swing. He had to do some major, major mechanical adjustments. I remember that spring the Cubs acquired him, and he started to look, you know, to hit a little bit in spring training. I talked to a number of scouts that had seen Rizzo in Boston in the minors and in San Diego and then in Chicago. A number of scouts that talked about how much the Cubs changed Rizzo, and, you know, his swing was shorter, and there were all kinds of mechanical things. That was a significantly revamped swing. I can't imagine Schwarber has any more work to do than that. I mean, I don't think he's got to go reinvent his total swing. I mean, obviously he's got some issues there right now. But, yeah, for those reasons, I think Schwarber's, you know, I think this is going to be long-term just a blip on his radar.
Scott Miller, national baseball writer for Bleacher Report, joining us from San Diego. And Scott, the other thing I think that a lot of us have kind of lost sight of is the fact that Kyle Schwarber has played in as many major league games as – he's not even played in a full major league season in over 3 years. I mean, obviously last year was a lost regular season, and then obviously did what he did during the World Series. I broke down some of the numbers from this, and he has the exact same number of extra base hits that he had in 2015. He has 19 fewer singles in 5 fewer games. That's the difference between 246 and 171. I mean, it's just that fine of a line.
Yeah, that's, like you said, was it 19 singles?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a strange game right now, too, because, you know, you look at a lot of the numbers, it's almost like that, all those singles you're talking about, it's like the singles a dying art. I mean, it's unbelievable the number of balls that are leaving the ballpark right now. And, you know, I mean, the balls that go in the air, you know, everybody's talking a launch angle, and everybody's homer happy. And you know, I can't remember the last time I've seen a good old-fashioned rally where in a span of about seven batters, you get three or four singles and a double or two.
Yeah, and, you know, with the Cubs being so loaded, I'm wondering, you know, if not for Cody Bellinger, I think Ian Happ could be Rookie of the Year. But I'm wondering, is Schwarber a guy that the Cubs could use to trade for a starting pitcher? Do you believe he has, you know, lost value because he's gone down to the minors now? But Schwarber and another, like, top-level minor league player, would that get the Cubs a bona fide starter?
In my mind, absolutely, without a doubt, no question. I think most of baseball views the whole Schwarber situation sort of like I explained my own view a little bit earlier, in that this guy's going to hit. He's hit everywhere he's been. He's a natural, and I would guarantee there'd be a long line of suitors if the Cubs indicated he could be had. All kinds of people that are going to say, oh, heck yeah, we'll take our chances with him and feel pretty good about it. I cannot imagine the Cubs doing that. And I go back to last year, the whole idea that while he was hurt and it was clear the Cubs needed a closer, all the rumors about this time last year, June and into July, where the rumors were beginning to swirl that, hey, the Cubs, you know, Schwarber can't help him this year anyway. He'd be the perfect guy to trade to get a closer. And then we all know how that ended. You know, finally Theo Epstein had enough, and he went in and talked to Schwarber himself and said, look, we're keeping you. We're not trading you. And I think the Cubs have a lot invested in Schwarber, and I think even though there's a crying need right now for them to get another starting pitcher, I think that he's a keeper for them.
All right, well, let's stay on that thought, Scott, because the Cubs, even though the last 10 games going into today's ball game, the starting pitchers had brought their ERA down, last 10 games, 2.35, they really do need a starting pitcher. And after Chapman being a rent-a-player, you know, I think they got to try to get a guy that they could, you know, hold on to for a few years. So of the three stud pitchers that have pretty good team-friendly contracts, Sonny Gray of Oakland or Chris Archer of Tampa or Jose Quintana right here with the White Sox, is there one of those three guys you like, or is there another starter that you would go get if you were Jed and Theo?
You know, I know he's underperformed this year, but I like Chris Archer. I think two reasons. One, I think his ceiling is still very, very high. And two, you know, coming out, I'm trying to remember, was Madden already gone, or did they cross paths? And I think Madden was still in Tampa when Archer was maybe his rookie year, or for sure when he was in the minors, I believe. So I think the combination of Archer's ceiling is still pretty good. I also like his smarts. I mean, this is a guy for me, you know, nothing against the other two, but for me, Archer is a guy who has the talent, and he also has the intelligence that I think is going to – I think that's like an extra insurance policy in getting a guy's talent out of him and getting him to reach his ceiling. If a guy's as sharp as Archer, he's able to figure things out. He's able to know everything from nutrition to workout regimens to on-field adjustments. So I'm an Archer guy. I think he'd be perfect.
Scott, real quick before we let you go, and again, thank you so much for taking some time. But what have you made of this Anthony Rizzo experiment in the leadoff spot? And I tell you, it's created quite a buzz here in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, the home runs he's jacked. I like it. I know it's unconventional. We all know Joe Madden traffics in unconventional. you know, it reminds me, Billy Martin used to in New York. When he get aggravated, there were times he would literally put his nine starters on a piece of paper, you know, on nine different small torn up pieces of paper, and pick his lineup out of the hat. I don't think it's as crazy Rizzo leading off as picking your lineup out of a hat. you know, I think those are some great old stories, and I like when managers do that because I think it also helps keep things light. It takes pressure off of guys, and we're so inundated with the analytical stuff, it's a game. I know it's a big business. It's more than just a game. But when you make some moves like that here and there, I think it keeps things light. It's fun. And I think it's a great way to take pressure off a guy. So, I'm not going to sit here and advocate Anthony Rizzo as a leadoff hitter for life. But for the time being, I thought it was a great move.
We had a lot of fun with it, too. Yeah, it was definitely lightening the mood up tremendously with a club that was struggling a little bit. So, hey, Scott, we appreciate it again. Thanks so much. And you can read Scott on Bleacher Report. He does a great job as their national baseball writer. Hey, enjoy the game there at Petco tonight. Say hi to the folks that are still there that I know.
I will do that, Andy. You got it. There's a little interleague play tonight. Tigers are in town. So we'll also do some scouting for the White Sox as well.
Nice. All right. Thanks. We'll find that report later. All right. Thanks. Scott Miller joining us from San Diego, where he's covering the Padres and the Tigers. He does such a great job and offers a great perspective nationally on some of the stories here locally.